Well, shalom, y'all. We're glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. We're going to be teaching our second teaching on the Feast of Tabernacles or Sukkot. We hope that y'all have been having a wonderful fall feast season so far, and we hope that you're having a wonderful Sukkot as well. So with that said, let's go ahead and jump into this teaching here. I'm in John chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, and I will come to you. You know, as we celebrate Sukkot, you know, we are looking back on the fact that as Moses took, you know, Israel out of Egypt, it talks about how Yahweh led them through the wilderness for 40 years. They were led through the wilderness, but they were led by him and they dwelled in temporary booths or sukkahs while they traveled through the wilderness until they actually entered into the promised land. So that is what Sukkot is all about. And it speaks of the fact that, number one, we dwell or we live in a temporary booth to remind us of the fact that they were led through the wilderness those 40 years and they lived in temporary booths during those 40 years. But what we see is while they were in that temporary booth, they were being led by God and God was with them. He led them with a cloud by day and by fire by night. And here in this verse I just talked about, you know, Yeshua speaks of the fact that when he leaves, that another one is coming, and that is our helper. That is his Holy Spirit. And his Holy Spirit dwells with us. He lives in us, and he is with us. And he also speaks of the fact that I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. He is actually going to come back as well. So his Spirit is leading us through this journey to get us to that promised land. So just as Israel was led by the cloud by day, the fire by night, being brought to the promised land, we're being brought to the new Jerusalem and we're being led by his Spirit. And his Spirit is dwelling with us. And another point we can kind of think about is how we're living in temporary booths, that this body that we currently live in is temporary and this world is temporary, but one day everyone will stand before the judge and they will have to give an account, and you will either spend eternity with the Creator or you will spend eternity locked into the lake of fire with the devil himself. So his Spirit is ever dwelling and living with us. His Spirit is teaching us. He's guiding us along our path. If we as individuals, as believers, can learn to trust in his Spirit, to learn to hear his Spirit, to learn to receive the conviction of his Spirit will guide us in all truth. And he will guide us and lead us to the promised land, to our end destination where we need to be. Now let's look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. So here we see we have heard the word of truth. So someone came and someone spoke truth unto us. They spoke the gospel unto us. We believed his gospel. We received his gospel. And upon believing in him, believing that Yeshua was the Messiah, we were sealed with his Holy Spirit. At that moment, his Holy Spirit came and lived and dwelt inside of us. And his Holy Spirit is the thing that shows that we are in covenant with him. And he is the guarantee of our inheritance, that we will acquire, that we will get the inheritance that is promised to us, which is eternal life. So eternal life to those who have possession of his Holy Spirit. Now, of course, we cannot receive possession of the Holy Spirit unless we first believe in Yeshua, and it is also a free gift. It is something that is freely given unto us. Now let's look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 4. And I want to talk about how his spirit leads us and guides us along this journey. So verse 4, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the spirit. So here Paul is telling us that there is a righteous requirement of the law. And that righteous requirement of law should be fulfilled. And the way we're going to fulfill the righteous requirement of the law is for us to walk according to the spirit and not according to the flesh. So as we learn to hear the voice of the spirit, as we learn to submit ourselves to his spirit and be taught by his spirit and to follow the conviction of his spirit, what we're going to find is if we're walking in obedience to the spirit, if we're following the Spirit and doing that which is of the Spirit, we will fulfill the righteous requirements of the law because the Spirit is not going to lead us contrary to the righteous requirements of his law. Okay. Verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Okay. So if you want to live according to the Spirit, we have to set what? Our minds on the things of the Spirit. So he has promised that he's going to give us his Spirit. His Spirit is dwelling inside of each and every believer, living with us. He is there to help us, to guide us, to be anything that we need as we work towards our inheritance, okay? But we as a believer, we have a responsibility. We don't get to just sit back and say, well, he has put his spirit inside of me, and because his spirit's inside of me, I am automatically going to fulfill the righteous requirements of the law. No, that's not going to happen. We as a believer have to choose what we're going to set our minds on. And this is an each and every day battle. This is an all throughout the day battle. Am I going to set my mind on the things of the flesh, or am I going to set my minds on the things of the spirit? Because see, if my mind is being set upon the flesh, guess what? I'm not going to walk according to the Spirit. Thus, I'm not going to fulfill the righteous requirement of the law. But the thing that we get to celebrate here during this season of Sukkot is the fact that he has given us his Spirit. He has placed his Spirit inside of us. And as we as believers can just set our minds upon the things of the Spirit, that with the help of the Spirit, we will fulfill the righteous requirements of the law, and we will be postured in a place to walk in his blessings and to inherit our inheritance. Okay, now let's look at verse 6. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. Okay, so to those who live their life with their mind set on the flesh, what are they going to receive? Death. But to those who set their minds on the Spirit, what are they going to receive? Peace and everlasting life. Okay, verse 7. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. So when our mind is set upon the flesh, we are actually postured in a position where we are at war. We are an enemy unto God and his law. And we are actually positioned in a way that we will not be able to submit ourselves to his law. Thus, we now become hostile to God instead of pleasing unto God. And every believer's goal should be to live a life that is pleasing unto God, to be that living sacrifice unto him, not to be one who is hostile unto God, who is living contrary to his ways, contrary to that which pleases him. So how do we please him? It's simple, by having our minds set upon the Spirit, having our minds set upon that which is spiritual. Paul tells us that the Torah, God's law, is spiritual. So when we set our mind upon his law, we set our mind upon his scripture, we set ourselves in a place where we can submit ourselves unto his law and we can be pleasing unto him instead of being hostile unto him. Now let's look at verse 8. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Yeshua from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Messiah Yeshua from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Okay, so if we believe in Messiah, okay, so he is in us. His Spirit has been placed inside of us. Our body is already dead because of sin. So because of sin, our body is going to receive death. That is the penalty for sin, okay? But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. It brings life, okay? So when we believe in Yeshua and we have his Spirit living inside of us, the Spirit of him who raised Yeshua from the dead dwells in you. So the same Spirit that rose Yeshua from the grave, that brought a dead man back to life, lives and dwells in you. That same power, that same Spirit. So that Spirit is alive and working in all of us to quicken ourselves unto his righteousness, to lead us in righteousness. We have all the power we need in order to walk in his righteousness. We just have to be willing to believe that that power is there because of his Spirit. It's not on our strength. It's not on our ability. It's us relying upon his Spirit. And by his Spirit, we can walk in his righteousness because we have that power that is needed. Let's look at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. So what was a penalty for disobedience to the law? You were cursed. So to any person who disobeys a law, there is a curse. If you try to rely upon your works to receive justification, you will be cursed because you will never be able to uphold the law on your own because you have broken it at one point in time. You will never perfectly uphold his law. So trying to obtain justification by obedience will put you in a spot where you are under a curse. Now look at verse 11. Now it's evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. Okay. But the law is not of faith, rather the one who does them shall live by them. Okay. Messiah redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. So that in Messiah Yeshua, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Okay, so we all have sinned at some moment in time. We all were cursed, but Yeshua came and redeemed us from that curse of the law. He became the curse for us when he was crucified upon that tree. So the moment we put our faith and our belief in Yeshua, that curse is removed. We are now justified. You can say we are now in right standing with God. And then through that faith that we have exercised in believing in Yeshua, we also have faith and believe that we receive his promised Spirit. And when Yeshua died upon that tree, it was the blessing of Abraham to come to the nations as well. So any person, whomever will believe, can receive forgiveness of sins and receive the promised Spirit through faith. That is the promise for us. Now, what is faith? You know, a lot of people, or some people will say faith is just believing that you believe a certain way. It's just saying that you have this belief. And because you say you have that belief, you have faith. Well, let's look at what faith is. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We're all very familiar with that verse there. But let's keep reading through this chapter and let's see what we see as we read through the examples given to us of people walking in faith. For by it, the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. So, first example here. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice. So, Abel had faith. But because he had faith, what did he do? He offered a more acceptable sacrifice. Because he had faith, he knew the sacrifice that was acceptable unto God. And because he had faith, he offered that sacrifice. So because he had faith, he did something. His faith was put into action. Okay, verse 5, let's look at our next example. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. So Enoch had faith, and because of his faith, he walked in such a way that his life pleased God. So his faith produced something in his life, and that was him walking in God's righteousness. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. So Noah had faith, and because he believed God, he believed what God was warning him about. Because of that faith, what did he do? He constructed an ark. He did the thing he was told to do. So we think about this. If we believe in God, what you're saying is you're not just saying you believe God exists. And we're not just saying we believe that Yeshua came and died on the cross and rose from the grave on the third day, and that my sins are forgiven. That's belief, yes. But there's more to believing God than that. Do you believe all of his word is true? Do you believe that his ways are righteous? Do you believe that he is holy? Because if we believe he is holy, if we believe his ways are righteous and he is just, then we're going to act according to our belief. And we should walk according to that belief in the fact that he's holy, he's just, he's righteous. And that there are certain things that he has laid out and said, if you do this, you are blessed. If you don't, you are cursed. Do you believe? Do you believe those words? Because if you do, then your actions should line up with your belief. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went in to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. Abraham had faith, so what did he do? He obeyed. He went to live in the land of promise as he was told to go, a place he knew not where he was going. But the key word there, by faith, Abraham obeyed. So as we celebrate Sukkot, we look at the fact that we can receive. We get to celebrate the fact that by faith, we can receive His Spirit, and His Spirit dwells and lives with us. But His Spirit serves a purpose, and that Spirit is here to help us, because our faith needs to be more than just a faith of believing in God, but our faith should produce obedience. Our faith should produce righteousness, holiness, set-apartness. Our faith should cause us to want to leave behind conformity unto the world and instead be transformed into the image of Yeshua. That's what our faith should do. And His Spirit is living and dwelling on us and is teaching us, if we're willing, to learn how to hear from His Spirit, to hear the conviction of His Spirit, and to be led by His Spirit in all righteousness. His Spirit will lead us and guide us in how to obey His law. His Spirit is not going to lead you to disobey God's law. Let's look at James chapter 2 and verse 17. So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. We should all be pushing ahead, fighting to obtain the goal that is ahead of us, to be able to inherit our inheritance that lies before us. And during Sukkot, we get to celebrate the fact that He has given us His Spirit to help us, which we receive by faith. And by faith, we are saved by faith. But our faith must be completed. And as James says here, our faith is completed by our works. Our works have to align with what we believe. And by the help of His Spirit living inside of us, by Him dwelling with us, and the promise that He will never leave us, He will never forsake us, no matter how dark the trials are that we go through, He will never leave us. He will not forsake us. His Spirit is there helping and guiding us as we are tested and we go through trials. But if we can learn to walk in obedience, and then what will happen is those around us will see our faith by our works. See, when you walk in obedience to His word and you walk in His righteousness and people see your good works, that is when they see your faith. Outside of your works, no one could ever see your faith. They're going to know what you believe by the way you act. Well, hallelujah. I hope that this message has blessed you this week. Again, I hope that you have a wonderful Sukkot, that the rest of this time and the rest of your Sukkot is wonderful and blessed, and you have a joyful time. We will be back again next week with another teaching. So come back now, and shalom, y'all.